listening to Merkaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of The Truthful Connection, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 21st of Muharram, 1446. Alhamdulillah, we completed our segment on Palestine and the relationship of the Anbiya with Palestine and how they ruled over that land of Palestine. We will now be doing Biladul Muslimin, which is presented by our brother Abu Bakr Sidat Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Abu Bakr.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana, to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Welcome you to Bilad al-Muslimin, the land of the Muslims. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
You may take a bit more time because, you know, we played that nasheed to introduce your program, Salamu li kulli biladil muslimin. So that took time. So if you go beyond half past, there's no problem.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jee Maulana, today, after about 8 weeks, I think we are coming to the end on the segment on Afghanistan and what is the situation in Afghanistan, the challenges, the leadership, the type of government that they have in place. But before we go to that, Maulana, I just want to give a few comments regarding the happenings in the past week. I think the big story was the butcher of Gaza, Netanyahu's visit to the United States of America, and was being invited by both houses of Congress. It is just unbelievable that in a so-called civilized society, that a mass murderer of children, women, and more than 40,000 people can be invited to address an August gathering of Congress people who are lawyers, who are intelligent, who are supposed to be intelligent. And then the amount of ovations that they given him when he was, every second sentence was a lie, regarding the statistics that he was giving regarding Gaza. Allah knows best, Maulana, but I think there are two women who really stood out in the, amidst all the jahiliyat of the American Congress, and that was Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. Rashida Tlaib was the sole congresswoman who stood with a placard accusing Netanyahu of being the mass murderer and the war criminal. And then the speech given by Ilhan Omar regarding the humanity and the inhumanity of the American Congress, more than 400 congressmen. Out of that, about 80 did not attend. And surprisingly, Biden and Kamala Harris, his vice president, did not attend also. But nevertheless, I think this was an exposure of the double standards of the West regarding what their approach to the Palestinian issue. But Allah Ta'ala is on the side of the Palestinians, in fact, with Hamas and the Palestinian people. Though we have a lot of shuhada and martyrs in the process, I think the end result will be something that the Muslim Ummah would be really gifted by Allah Ta'ala, that is the security of the Al-Aqsa Masjid and the security of the people of Palestine and the demise of the state of Israel in a few years, inshallah, maybe in our lifetime, maybe not. Gee, Mulana, and then... The other big news was the withdrawal of Biden, you know, this imbecile and the senile president of the United States of America from the presidential race that will take place in November of this year against Donald Trump, who will be the Congress, the Democratic candidate. There is speculation that Kamala Harris may gain that nomination and gain the ticket to contest with Donald Trump. But coming to our program now, Maulana, alhamdulillah, I think through the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've been over the last seven, this is the eighth week that we have discussed Afghanistan in detail, where it is situated, its physical features, the Tora Bora Mountains, famous, then its history, and its occupation for since 1979, first by the Soviet Union, and then by the Americans for a period of over 20 years. And then the results of this was that millions of Afghans had been internally displaced or become refugees as a result of decades of conflict in Afghanistan since 1979. From 2002 to 2012, more than 5.7 million former refugees returned to Afghanistan, increasing the country's population by 25%. 2.6 million Afghans remained refugees in 2021 when the Taliban took over, while another 4 million were displaced also. And the consequences of this is that the challenge that was given to the Taliban had been great. War crimes that were committed by the coalition Afghan and Afghan security forces and the Northern Alliance included massacres, prisoner mistreatment, and killings of civilians. Amnesty International accused the Pentagon of covering up evidence related to war crimes, torture, and unlawful killings in Afghanistan. Notable incidents include the Dasht-e-Leili massacre, Bagram torture and prisoner abuse, Kandahar massacre, many others, among others. And then we must think of the Bagram prison and the rendition of so many people to Guantanamo Bay. And the Americans have not been held accountable for the torture and the unlawful imprisonment of thousands of Afghanis and other Mujahid in Guantanamo Bay. In 2020, the International Criminal Court investigation in Afghanistan formally commenced investigating war crimes and crimes against humanity committed by all parties in Afghanistan. Since May 2013, on the 22nd of March 2023, the British government launched a public inquiry to investigate reports of alleged unlawful killings by the United Kingdom's security forces that were based in Afghanistan during the war. In 2000, Afghanistan accounted for an estimated 75% of the world's opium supply, which was the Taliban's largest source of revenue through taxes on opium exports. Mullah Omar banned opium cultivation in 2001, which observers said was an attempt to gain international recognition, raise opium prices, and increase profit from the sale of large existing stockpiles. This is all speculation, Maulana, on the side of the Western press, that the primary reason for the banning of the opium was that the forces that were in control of Afghanistan at the time were promoting it and trying to use the opium to seduce the Afghans into accepting the American occupation and the Afghan government. And it has been contended that more than 400,000 people were addicted to the opium that was being handed out free of charge to the forces within the Afghan government also, and to the people of Afghanistan. And I think this decision in 2001 by Mullah Omar to ban it is in one of the books of one of the United Nations officials, that when the Taliban came to power in 2001, although for a very, very brief period, and Mullah Omar Rahmatullah Alayhi banned the cultivation of opium, it was such a success that within the period of 6 months, there was complete annihilation of the opium plantations and opium trade completely. And this accusation against the Taliban that it was controlling the export of the opium trade to the Western countries has to be taken with a pinch of salt. Opium production increased in the years following October 2001 invasion by the United States of America and its allies, with Afghanistan producing 90% of the world's opium by 2005. According to a 2018 report, the U.S. had spent $80.6 billion since 2002 to control the Afghanistan's drug trade. In May 2021 report, it was stated that the United States had taken control of the whole drug trade, and the expense of local and provincial governments, and too much focus on the country instead of the region. And this is the situation where they take control of the resources, and this resource was used to export opium to the United Kingdom and the Western countries, and India and Pakistan also. According to certain reports, climate change played a significant role in increasing instability in Afghanistan and strengthening the Taliban. More than 60% of the Afghan population depend on agriculture, and Afghanistan is the sixth most vulnerable country to climate change in the world, according to the United Nations Environment Program and Afghanistan's National Environmental Protection Agency. The Taliban use resentment over government inaction to climate change, induced drought and flooding to strengthen its support, and Afghans were able to earn more money supporting the Taliban than from farming. Despite efforts to eradicate poppy, that is the opium plant, Afghanistan remained the largest producer of illicit opiate. By the end of the war, the Taliban profited at least tens of millions of dollars from opium and heroin annually as of 2018. Some journalists note that the strategic mistakes by the U.S. and the allies in the immediate aftermath of the 2001 invasion as being a reason why the war went on for so long. It is also noted that missed early opportunities to construct a stable political settlement was deliberately ignored. Steve Cole, one of the journalists, believes that no small part of NATO's ultimate failure to stabilize Afghanistan flowed from the disastrous decision by George W. Bush to invade Iraq in 2003. The Taliban's comeback, America's initial inattention to it, and the attraction for some Afghans and Pakistani of the Taliban's ideology of national resistance under Islamic principles, all these sources of failure cannot be understood in isolation from the Iraq war. Cole further notes that neither the Bush nor the Obama administrations achieved consensus on key questions. such as the relative importance of nation building versus counterterrorism, whether the stability of Afghanistan took priority over that of Pakistan, or the role of the drug trade, although the failure to solve the riddle of ISIS and to stop its covert interference in Afghanistan became the greatest strategic failure of the American war. In 2009, Afghanistan was ranked as the world's second most corrupt country. A lengthy report, among other findings, found that spiraling corruption in Afghanistan during the 2000s and was not halted by the United States. In fact, they were complicit in promoting the corruption, firstly with the Hamid Karzai government and then with Ashraf Ghani. During this time, many elite figures in the country had effectively become kleptocrats while ordinary Afghans were struggling. Pakistan's ISI had an official policy to support the Taliban. Pakistan appears to be playing a double game of astonishing magnitude, the reports stated. Regarding the Afghan war documents leak, Der Spiegel wrote that the documents clearly showed that the Pakistani intelligence agency, the Inter-Services Intelligence, that is the ISI, is the most important accomplice the Taliban has outside of Afghanistan. Amrullah Saleh, former director of Afghanistan's intelligence service, stated, "We took a talk about all these proxies, Taliban, Haqqanis, but they're not the master of proxies, which is the Pakistan Army. The question is, what does the Pakistan Army want to achieve? They want to gain influence in the region. Pakistan's role can be traced back to the Soviet war in which they funded the Mujahideen against the Soviets. Pakistan's objective then, as it is now, is to ensure that Afghanistan has a regime friendly to their interests and will provide geopolitical depth in any future conflict with India." Iran also sought to influence the war. During the course of the war, the U.S. took out two Iran's major enemies, that is Saddam Hussein through the Iraq war, as well as the Taliban. Saudi Arabia and Pakistan are the dominant players that influenced the war. Iran and the Taliban formed ties with Russian assistance as well to bleed the American force. Iran and Russia, emboldened by their alliance in the Syrian civil war, initiated a proxy war in Afghanistan against the U.S. The Taliban received economic support from Dubai, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain. Pakistan had been given economic support and encouraged the Iran-Taliban ties. China has been quietly expanding its influence. Since 2010, China has signed mining contracts with Kabul and is building a military base in Badakhshan to counter regional terrorism from one of the Chinese counter-organizations who is fighting against the Chinese government. China has donated billions of dollars in aid over the years to Afghanistan, which plays a strategic role in the Belt and Road Initiative. This is through Pakistan to the Gwadar port. Additionally, after 2011, Pakistan expanded its economic and military ties to China as a hedge against dependency on the U.S. It is observed that overall the war left China with considerable latitude in Central Asia without having made any expenditure of blood, treasure, or reputation. In December 2019, the Washington Post published 2,000 pages of government documents, mostly transcripts of interviews with more than 400 key figures involved in prosecuting the Afghanistan war. According to the Post and the Guardians, the documents dubbed the Afghanistan Papers an eye opener for the world to see the double standards and the intricacy and the deception that was led by the American government. The Taliban's victory was facilitated in support from Pakistan. Although Pakistan was a major U.S. ally before and after the 2001 invasions of Afghanistan, elements of the Pakistan government, including the military and the intelligence services, have for decades maintained strong logistical and tactical ties with the Taliban militants. And this support helped the insurgency in Afghanistan. The Haqqani Network, a Taliban affiliate based in Pakistan, had strong support from the ISI, the Pakistani intelligence agency. Taliban leaders found a safe haven in Pakistan, lived in the country, transacted business and earned funds there, and received medical treatment there. Some elements of the Pakistan establishment sympathized with Taliban ideology. It is hoped that those same elements will one day bring about a change in Pakistan also, with Imran Khan in prison and the Chors in charge of the government in Pakistan. And many Pakistan officials considered that the Taliban is an asset against India. The Pakistan Army believes Afghanistan provides strategic depth against India, which is their obsession. In the initial aftermath of the September 11, 2001 attacks in the United States of America, Iranian forces led by the Revolutionary Guard commander Qasem Soleimani initially cooperated secretly with American officials against Al-Qaeda operatives and the Taliban, but that cooperation ended after the excess of evil speech in January 29, 2002, which included calling Iran a major state sponsor of terror and threat to peace in the region. Afterwards, Iranian forces became increasingly hostile to American forces in the region. In November 2001, a CNN report widespread relief amongst Kabul's residents after the Taliban fled the city, with young men shaving off their beards and working women taking off their burqas. Later that month, the BBC's longtime Kabul correspondent, Kate Clark, reported that almost all women in Kabul are still choosing to veil, but that many felt hopeful that the ousting of the Taliban would improve their safety and access to food. These are the challenges that the Taliban is facing now that the Americans have left the country and decided to quit the war. The Taliban came into power in 2021. Among the people who have come to the fore in the government, which is a transitional government and in place in government to take control of Afghanistan, the supreme leader is Hibatullah Akhundzada. He came placed in power in 15th August 2021. And he is still the supreme leader. The acting prime minister is Hassan Akhund. He was installed as acting prime minister on the 7th of September 2021. The chief justice is Abdullah Kim Hakani. Also on 15th August, he was put in place. The deputy leaders are Sirajuddin Hakani, Mullah Yaqub, and Abdul Ghani Baradar. Abdul Ghani Baradar was one of the main negotiators in the Doha talks with the United States of America. In fact, the Americans requested the Qataris, who were hosting the talks, that Baradar should be excluded from being one of the negotiation teams of the Pakistan, because he was so adamant that when the American asked for little concessions, he was adamant and he gave no concessions whatsoever. the acting deputy prime minister Abdul Ghani Baradar, Abdul Salam Hanafi, and Abdul Qadir Kabir. And one of the biggest challenges of the Taliban at this stage is the creation and the settlement of refugees. Now with Pakistan taking a decision to repatriate more than several million Afghanistan who have been living in Pakistan for more than over 20 years by the end of the year, this is a big challenge where the people coming home find themselves out of work, no employment, and the Afghan government, the transitional government, is making all efforts to get foreign direct investment, FDI, especially from the Chinese, who were given many rights also. Well, now we have come to the end of our program. We pray that you and the listeners have a wonderful day. Make dua for the people of the Ikhuruleni. We have a 77-hour closure of water, no water at all whatsoever. And alhamdulillah, the masajid in the eastern area are making all-out effort to make available the borehole water. And alhamdulillah, communities in, especially in our area, Baikatan, are so thankful that they are flooding the social media platform with thanking the Muslim community of the area to make available drinking water. Allah make it easy for us. We pray that it is contended that by tomorrow water will be flowing again. Allah make it easy. But they said by the time the reservoirs are fully operational, will be another 15 days. So we don't know what is going to happen within the next 15 days. Make dua for the community of South Africa and the Muslims in Gaza and throughout the world where Muslims and other people are being oppressed unlawfully. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.